Hello and welcome to the podcast, The Lotus Eaters, for the 27th of January, 2022. I'm joined by Harry.
Hello.
And today we're going to be talking about the hate stickers. Stickers of hate. You've heard of hate speech. Got nothing on hate stickers.
Were they spread by the Patriot Freds? Feds.
No, they weren't. Also, Joe Rogan keeps winning and Democrats screaming like a toddler black woman now. That's just the rallying cry.
So no different than usual then.
Well, except they actually have a position to try and destroy the United States on this time. So, oh yeah, no difference than usual. What am I talking about? So let's mention the first things on the website. So the first thing, the new thing being here, a video from Carl, 5 reasons why political correctness is nonsense. So this is him going into the, let's say, theory of political correctness as a term as well, and why it is just crap.
Yes. I think the term political correctness I hate, I think politically acceptable would probably be a more accurate term.
But it's also just like, by definition, a politically correct thing is not correct, because otherwise it would just be correct.
Exactly.
Yeah. But go and check that out. Carl's got some great arguments in there. So if we go to the next one, we have a republish here from Hugo. So this is the tragedy in Ethiopia. So the situation that's happening there. And this now has an audio track for silver and gold tier members to listen to. So in case you don't like reading, as I mentioned, I don't. And if we go to the next one here, we have a new article here from Thomas, Why Feminists Won't Talk About OnlyFans. So this is a deep think piece.
Yes, this is something very interesting that we on the writers have been working, thinking about developing for a while, which is the deep think series, where we go maybe a bit above and beyond in terms of the article length that we normally stick to, normally about 2,000 words. Tom's gone above and beyond and gone to 6,000 words. I don't think we're intending for this to be the first deep think. Tom just had a lot to say on the subject, and so it's ended up being the first one. And honestly, if you scroll down, John, we can just see that it's very nicely laid out. There's introduction, everything's split into section. You've even got properly referenced sources, so it looks really great. I've not got round to reading it yet because it's huge, but there is a 31-minute audio track if anybody's interested, and there should be more in this series coming soon.
The audio there for silver and gold tier, so
yes.
In case you don't like reading 6,000 words. And then the last thing to mention is the gold tier Zoom call. So this is the gold tier Zoom call we'll be doing. When is that? That's tomorrow, isn't it? Yeah, so that's tomorrow at 3:30 in the afternoon, UK time. So that's for gold tier members, in which we just hang out, chat. I mentioned it before, but I'll mention it again. So come and join us. Without further ado, let's get into the podcast. So, hate stickers. So you've heard of hate speech. You've heard of hate crimes. Well, what about hate stickers? They're on the rise.
Oh, no.
You don't know what the hell I'm talking about? Let's go to this first tweet here from the police, because all the police in the UK live on social media because they're all insane, or at least that's what's making them insane.
It's a lot easier than going out and stopping crimes.
Yeah, and as you can see here, this is Gwent Police. We are investigating a number of posters containing offensive material being installed throughout Newport. These posters are offensive.
They didn't say it's okay to be white, did they?
No. Please do not remove any posters yourself. Instead, call 101 or send us a direct message on social media. The relative authority will then be alerted to safely remove the offensive poster.
If they put them up with pins, you might prick yourself. We need to do it safely.
I love the idea that if you stare at an offensive poster, it's like Medusa, and you turn to stone because you're so offended. So we must get a specialist out to get rid of it.
Except a white cloak materializes over you, presumably.
Yeah, so it's just like, no, I'm in the clan now, damn. So this is insane. And anyone looking at this tweet would be like, what the hell are you talking about? This is nonsense. And so the Labour Party retweeted it. So if we go to the next link here, this is an archive of the fact that the local Labour MP, of course, retweeted that. Instead of being like, what the hell are you talking about? This is mad.
Why are you wasting our money?
No, right on top of it. Good to know. Good to know. And then if we go to the next link, we can see the details of this. So Newport, woman, 53, arrested over abusive stickers. Did they break any bones? Did they harass someone? No, they just say words that people don't like. Gwent Police said patrol officers, quote, saw a woman spraying stickers to 2 lampposts in Newport. Keep that in mind. Spraying stickers. Right. The way that sounds, what's she done? She got the stickers and she's gone. Okay?
Yep.
Simple as. Very important. You might think not, but keep it in mind. A local woman has been arrested on suspicion of criminal damage and displaying threatening or abusive writing likely to cause harassment, alarm, or distress, because in this country it is illegal to be interesting. The force said it had received 6 calls between October and January about posters containing allegedly offensive material.
Oh no, 6 busybodies won't leave us alone.
Over October to January.
That's not...
That's a long period of time.
That's not high volume of crime being reported there.
A whole 6 people called up well, over might, several well, months.
Six calls might just be the same person calling six times. You have you done anything yet?
Yes. Mm. Why have you not done anything about the offensive
stickers? I'll call you in another 2 weeks, sir.
It said the woman's mobile phone was seized as part of its inquiries, and the woman's home was searched, where the stickers and posters were also seized.
This is evidence now.
Yeah, we need her phone. We're going to impound her. Gwent Police said it was aware of a yellow sticker on social media, which states, quote, 3+ women are killed by men every week and domestic violence kills. Right. It's the TERFs. It's a TERF thing. It's the TERFs being upset about, as you can see here, domestic violence. And that's a crime. Get in the slammer, love. No more of that chit-chat. Okay, Gwent Police.
If you couldn't do the time, you shouldn't have head-butted that door frame.
you shouldn't have put your head into the doorknob. I don't, yeah. What?
I mean, good God. I mean, I don't even see, like, we can say, obviously, it's probably TERFs spreading these, but these messages aren't even saying something as controversial as trans women aren't women or
women
something like
aren't
that.
Women. They're not even doing that.
Yeah, it's You're literally right. just giving statistics.
Mm. The force said it could not confirm the content of the stickers. Well, they didn't want to tell you, just in case you also turned to stone, presumably. And this falls into an active investigation, but said, quote, the content of the stickers is directed towards those within the transgender community.
So it is women are women stickers then?
But hang on, they've only told us that it's about domestic abuse. So I don't know if the transgender people are all beating up women in their spare time. Presumably, yes. Or at least that's what they're referring to here. And then they end this off with a section, as you can see there, the highlight. It says, glass and pins stuck behind posters. Funny thing is, glass, pins. Remember at the start when I said they sprayed
on
the stickers?
Yeah, they're saying they're spraying them on. There's a bit of incontinuity.
Hmm. How would they have done that? So if we go to the next tweet, someone else also had a big brain thought and thought the same thing. How can glass and sharp objects be behind stickers which have been sprayed on? Well, physically can't, surely.
Surely you would just put it against a flat surface.
Hmm. And if we go to the next link, we can actually see Gwent Police released a statement on this. I love this. They had to release a statement on the fact that they detained someone, kept them for 12 hours, apparently.
The great sticker case of 2021.
Got to solve it. And there's a whole bunch of information in here, and they list it all out as the timeline goes, right? So they receive reports of offensive material, these horrible stickers throughout. They arrested a 53-year-old woman. Come with us. No more walking around putting stickers up. That's against the law, don't you know? Where's your license? And then they held her, as you can see there, for 12 hours till 3 in the morning.
This just seems
cruel.
For what
reason?
This is cruel and unusual.
It makes no sense.
What are you doing to my grand police officer?
They searched her house, stole some stuff, stole her phone, and were like, well, we're keeping this. There's no stickers on it, because remember, it's a phone. So
do you watch Internet Historian?
Yes.
This seems like one of his mid-video ads, where they just go in and will be taking
NordVPN man has taken her phone. No, it's the Gwent Police. Quote, upon release, the woman was offered transport for both herself and her mobility scooter, but declined and chose to make her own way home.
She's got a mobility scooter as well, you maniacs! What are you doing?
There's a 53-year-old woman in Wales on a mobility scooter putting up stickers that say, you know, end domestic abuse, and the police are like, not on our watch. It's crack.
This isn't domestic abuse, this is elder abuse going on right here.
Yeah, I mean, again, you know, violence against women, well, the Gwent Police are part of that.
The police need to watch some 90s-era VHS tapes.
But the funny thing is, like, they list out the let's say, series of events. And only right at the end do they mention that, oh, we also had to put up a message on social media saying, be careful because of glass and pins stuck behind the posters. You can see at the bottom there. Mm-hmm. Nowhere in the investigation do they mention they found any glass or pins. Nowhere do they say that anyone was injured by any glass or pins. Nor does the suspect ever mention glass or pins or any glass or pins in the house.
Somewhere, somehow, there might be glass nearby. Is that a glass bottle you've got there, Callum? Keep away.
Oh, it's plastic, but you can claim it's glass. I mean, why not? What's the evidence? Not with the Gwent Police.
Well, define glass for me.
This is where I'm very suspicious, and I do not trust the police in the UK because they're an international laughingstock because of their own actions, and justifiably so. But the fact that they have said that right at the end, after they investigated a ridiculous call, then arrested a 53-year-old woman in a mobility scooter, then detained her for 12 hours, and then 3 in the morning kicked her out. I think they were embarrassed. I think they pissed themselves and thought, oh, crap.
We need an excuse for this.
We need a reason, because otherwise we look awful. So I think they've made this up. I'm just going to say it. I think there were never any glass or pins behind any of the stickers. I don't think anyone ever found any. I don't think anyone even mentioned any. I don't believe it at all. And if I'm wrong, produce the evidence. Don't just say it.
And take you,
show the pictures.
Yeah, you probably took a picture. Just post one on social media saying this is what we're talking about. It would actually, if this is an issue, it would be useful for the public to understand what it is they should be looking out for.
Or just show us the minutes of where you interviewed someone before you arrested the woman, in which they mentioned there were glass and pins. There isn't. You're full of S. I'm sorry, but just, I think they're utterly corrupt in this aspect. And I mentioned the fact that also they also found no glass or pins when searching the house or interviewing her. Speaking of the search, if we go to the next link, we can see, as Posey Parker links here on Getter, well, what did they do? Police seize anti-trans book from activist in raid on her home. They stole her book.
They just took it.
Yeah, this is ours now. What crime are you alleging? I put up some stickers that were politically incorrect.
You owned an illegal book.
So we have stolen your book. Remember, the person detained as well is an academic. So I believe she's got like a, what is it, a doctorate in philosophy or something. So, you know, it's as crystal clear as you can get. The police are doing the bidding of the radical left in this country to just arrest people and terrorize them whenever they say anything the radical left do not like, specifically on gender issues. Just, you are in the wrong think camp, so you're going to be detained by the police for 12 hours. I mean, why? Why not 3? Why would it have to be 12? What were you hoping to find? Nothing.
Maybe they were hoping they could sweat some information out of her. Maybe she's part of an illegal turf network in the local area.
Yeah. I mean, this is just ridiculous. If we go to the next link, we can see the article itself, and they have the details of the search. And they say Jennifer Swain, 53, was detained for more than 12 hours. I'm sorry, I just can't go over the fact that after 3 hours of conversation, you thought, well, I'll keep her for another 9. Why? Raided her home and took a book of essays on, quote, the theory and practice of transgendering children, edited by Dr. Heather Birchkin Evans, an academic previously no platformed by university students. Oh, right. So this is even more evidence that the police are doing the bidding of those types of students. The radicals on campus who won't even have anyone disagree with them. Okay, you've got one of their books? Okay, we're going to take that as well. This material's not allowed. It's on the banned book list.
Even if you're just a case of, like, academic curiosity and I just want to read through to different perspective or anything like that, nope.
This is basically a bomb-making manual. Well,
anybody who owns maybe Irreversible Damage by Abigail Schreier, Helen Joyce recently came out with Trans, you should probably watch your back.
Yeah. Oi, 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 what's all this Thomas Sowell then? You know, it's ridiculous.
Oh no, I'll be in a lot of trouble.
Sway said that the police did not say why they took the book, because we know why they took the book, and if they dared admit it, we would have it in writing, which contained her handwritten notes as well. So she was doing research on this book. She was writing down her notes, and they took those two. Those are all theirs. Swain was released on conditional bail at 3:30 a.m. Her phone was also seized. Last month, Preeti Patel, the Home Secretary, told police to do more to protect freedom of speech after judges ruled the recording non-crime hate instances risked interfering with people's right to express their opinions. And this is where the, let's say, disjointed response is. Because, of course, you can have a Home Secretary who has done the right thing here. I mean, with all the criticisms of Preeti Patel, they're all a lot valid. But this one, okay, she told the police, do not do this kind of crap. And yet we have examples on the ground every single time. I mean, in this case, I mean, frankly, these officers should be facing some kind of criminal charges for this sort of thing. This is such an infringement on civil liberties.
This is just an abuse of the public.
Just, we don't like what you've said, so we're going to arrest you for 12 hours, seize your phone, search your house, and steal your books. That's a free country. That's not something the Stasi would do.
No.
And if we go to the next link, we actually can have a look at some intersectional hate stickers as well, because some of the TERFs have dug this up as an example. You can see Gwent PCC being there, like, oh, violence and stickers are not allowed. So then someone has been like, okay, well, here's some of your intersectional friends putting up stickers. And what do they say? Shut the F up, TERF, with an anime girl pointing a gun at the...
Yeah, that is pointing a gun at you, so you could say, well, there's incitement to violence if you wanted to stretch it.
And if you want to go to the next image there, John, you can see there's one of there that says, be gay, do crimes. And of course, these are memes. These are dumb memes. I'm not an idiot. I'm not some boomer who thinks that this is a threat. However, the stickers from the TERF are also not a threat. They are an opinion. They're not actual threats of, well, there is no threat even in Kleinster. I mean, this one actually has, you know, more threatening imagery than the stuff from the TERF.
Well, yeah, it's a stretch to be able to say that the TERF stuff is inciting hatred. This one, obviously, we know it's a joke, but if we wanted to be as duplicitous as the other side are, we could very easily say, well, it literally says do crimes on it. What are you going to say to that? Well, you know, we can interpret
We can interpret a joke when it's a joke, but when it's the TERF's and it's a policy we disagree with, or an opinion we disagree with, get the boys in blue.
And there's another thing here, which is that I mean, if you want to talk about the Stasi and certain practices done by people, what if you are a person who is worried about your child, who is in school, who might be thinking about going this way, who maybe you recognize as sort of being pushed into it or being encouraged to do it through trendiness and something like that, and you decide to read that book? Could your kid dob you into the police and you get this treatment?
Yes. If we go to the next link, because you may be wondering, okay, maybe we're wrong. Maybe the stickers really are as bad as... Look at them. Fair Cop has them, because Fair Cop actually does some work.
Of course.
And as you can see here, is 3+ women killed by men each week. Domestic violence kills, and then a sad woman. No pins or glass could be seen. There is no space I can even see where the pins or glass would go. But okay. And there it is. It is just a complaint about domestic violence. It is not even women are women. We don't even get to that levels. It's just if you dare even say anything that is remotely associated with the TERF movement, you're going to get searched by the police.
So if I just care about women now, I'm a TERF.
Yes.
And therefore illegal.
But you mentioned the Stasi, and I'll mention this because it's the funniest thing I've ever written about. Read about the Stasi, and it shows the purpose of this action as well by the police in the UK. So the Stasi started experimenting with how to mess with people's heads in the funniest of manners.
Yes.
They had someone who was an anti-communist, someone who disagreed with communism. So they went round to the house when they weren't in and would start moving things, like put files in a different drawer, and then the next day you'd move a painting to the other side of the room. And then you'd up it and up it. Eventually, you're moving the furniture around.
And you just make them think they're crazy.
Yes. But it was also the, there is no safe place. We can go in your bedroom.
State-organized gaslighting. Mm. That's quite horrifying, yet impressive.
The Stasi were hoping it would just make the person, you know, calm down. Instead, it made them insane and they all committed suicide.
Well, so, yeah.
What do you expect? But also, the action taken here by the British police is exactly the same in its goal. Which is to terrify the individual that, well, basically, even if you put up a little sticker that says, well, domestic violence is bad, no. We know what you're about.
Yeah. John just brought up a point on screen as well, saying maybe they see something saying about violence towards women and think, oh, God, they're thinking about trans women. Which says more about them than anything. Yeah.
There is some good news, or at least minor good news on this. So if we go to the next link, we can see Fair Cop is apparently suing. Dear Gwent Police, by the end of today, we will have our legal team in place. We suggest you set up a crowdfund for yours, as you are going to need it. And I remember when I watched Mr. Miller at, I can't remember what the panel was called, but there was some panel hosted by the Free Speech Union. And he said his one regret in his whole time as an advocate is he didn't take for the money. He didn't go for the money. So, go for the money, Miller.
Yeah,
take as much
it.
As you can. And if we go to the next link, we can also see Posey Parker doing a stream on this. She said she's going to be going down to Newport to hand out stickers just as a form of protest at some point
this
week. So either tomorrow, maybe today, maybe on the weekend. So if you're in Newport, definitely look out for that as well. And the funny thing is, because those stickers talk about domestic abuse and domestic abuse only, there is the other aspect, which is, maybe this is because Gwent Police are domestic abusers.
Oh, really?
So if we have this Guardian article here. Gwent Police sorry for failures over female abuse. Sorry, officers' abuse claims.
Oh.
So this is Gwent Police saying sorry for failures over female officers' abuse claims because a police force has apologised to two women whose reports of domestic abuse at the hands of fellow officers were ignored.
So they're just protecting their own. So potentially.
Some female officers mentioned the fact that they were abused by a fellow male officer, presumably in a relationship, and that was ignored by Gwent Police. And then someone, some devious bastard, turned up and put up stickers saying domestic abuse is bad.
And the police went, oh God, that's us.
Yes.
And then they went, how do we solve this? I know, let's abuse an old woman.
That'll be the solution. It later emerged that several other women had been victimized by Jocelyn while he remained a serving officer. Misconduct proceedings were finally brought against him in 2018, but Jocelyn quit the force shortly before a panel found his actions amounted to gross misconduct. So the police force, the local police force themselves, are also deeply corrupt on this aspect.
Imagine my shock.
Yeah, colour me shook. But I don't know why. We cover these stories like every couple of months at this point, frankly. And
probably more often than that.
Everyone has seen the various memes of the British police, especially on social media. It's like, you post some hate speech, our boys in blue will come and get you.
Well, yeah, Manchester, where I'm from, they had the truck that they brought out. Hate speech is a crime.
Yeah, what is it? Being offensive is an offence,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, that was the one, yeah.
All that kind of stuff. And I'm still shocked by it. I think we still should go over it every time because, as you mentioned, it is the kind of actions of a Stasi police force, a political police force. And if that's what they are, they need disbanding.
It's encouraging all sorts of negative aspects to culture, including just sort of a snitch culture between one another because you'll get social points for it.
Yeah. Or maybe even cash in the reference to the, potentially. The COVID stuff. You remember that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. You'd get financial incentives for dobbing each other in. What a wonderful society we've found ourselves in.
Anyway, that's the hate sticker. So if you haven't had enough of the hate speech conversation, now the stickers themselves are also hateful. Let's move on.
All right, so it's time to take a look at how Joe Rogan just keeps on winning. Now, I'm quite happy that I'm sat here today with my good friend Callum, because this will involve some things that, well, some people that many of you, if you're under the age of 50, will probably not have heard of, and Callum will be a great person to just explain who all of these people are. So recently, a musician called Neil Young demanded that Spotify remove his music over false information about vaccines. Now, Callum, do you know who Neil Young is?
I have a clue.
That's absolutely fair. Even music fans have probably forgotten that he exists. He is a sort of like 1960s, 1970s, and some parts of the 80s rock musician who did some material with his band Crazy Horse. He worked with Crosby, Stills, and Nash when he was in them. It was Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young. And he is probably most famous or most well known for his song Rockin' in the Free World, which makes everything that's about to come in a moment extra ironic. So, Neil Young posted a since-deleted letter to his management team and record label demanding that they remove his music from Spotify. I'm doing this because Spotify is spreading fake information about vaccines, potentially causing death to those who believe the disinformation being spread by them, he wrote. Please act on this immediately, today, and keep me informed of the time schedule. I want you to let Spotify know immediately today that I want all my music off their platform, he continued. They can have Joe Rogan or Young, not both. Young is referencing the steady stream of misinformation about vaccines that Joe Rogan has peddled on the Joe Rogan Experience. Now, just to make sure, we are not going to go into any of the details regarding the information that has been given about vaccines. I am not going to be commenting on any of that because we can't. But just there's a few points.
Because this is a free world.
Yes, because this is a free world and we stream, our videos go on a very free platform. But this is most likely in response to people, to Joe Rogan platforming people like Peter McCullough and Robert Malone on recent interviews that he's done within the past month that were very high profile, got viewed by a lot of people, which kind of shows you that with this sort of stuff, they're trying to implement misinformation policies. They are not trying to just ruin Rogan in doing so. They are trying to remove any sort of major platform where people like McCullough and like Malone can spread their word. Whether it's accurate or not, I believe that these people should be able to appear on platforms as long as the platforms will take them.
But also, we all know any misinformation policy ever written will only ever go one way. If there's misinformation on the other side of any debate, that won't be flagged. Those people won't be deleted. It'll just be forgotten.
No, of course. That's the thing. They get to set the terms of what misinformation is. If Dr. Fauci appeared on Joe Rogan and, as he's done a few times, contradicted everything he said a year ago or a few months ago, they would not flag that as misinformation because he has the sticker of okay approval. Good job, Fauci. But yeah, it's very obvious why Neil Young is doing this for the same reason that I had to explain to Callum who Neil Young is, which is that nobody knows who Neil Young is. Immediately after this happened, Twitter was trending, who is Neil Young, which had about 12,000 tweets. And he is just desperately trying to remain relevant in the modern era and trying to get his name on headlines, which appears to be working, but is kind of backfired because generally speaking, if you want to have your publicity boosted, then you kind of want people to be able to listen to the work that you've done. And if you're a musician, where will people find your work? On Spotify. And sadly, there's spoilers, it's not on there anymore. But yeah, this is very selfish as well because he's trying to punish Joe Rogan. But he's actually punishing his actual fans. He did have 6 million monthly listeners, I should say. So all of those 6 million people who don't care about Joe Rogan now will have to find different ways of listening to him that are less convenient. And also, let's not start asking a music platform, because that's what Spotify primarily are, let's not start asking them to apply moral standards to the people that it hosts on the platform. Because I don't know if you know much about the 60s and 70s, Callum.
You were telling me about it over lunch, and I was grimacing the whole time.
Yeah, exactly. There were a number of people who have written fantastic music that I don't want to be deprived of listening to, but who were doing some pretty sketchy things in the past. I'll put it like this. Spotify still hosts Lost Prophets. they still host Gary Glitter, and they still host R. Kelly. So Joe Rogan having open conversations is kind of the last thing they need to worry about in comparison to those.
Actual crimes are not problems. No. Disagreeing with me. That's
thought
a real
crimes.
Problem.
Yes. But this comes very, very quickly after Joe Rogan has been called out by a number of people, including this open letter, which we covered last week, from a number of doctors asking for a misinformation policy to put on Spotify. As a reminder, those doctors included science communicators, presumably for podcasts, students, and vets. There were a few immunologists and epidemiologists, but primarily it was students, vets, and people who didn't really have any expertise in what was
people
what was
who don't
being
practice medicine
about.
As a doctor.
Exactly. Oh God, excuse me. Exactly. And the thing is, Spotify, after being told, well, you can either have 6 million monthly listener Neil Young or 11 million listener per episode Joe Rogan, Spotify called his bluff. So if we move along, yeah, Neil Young has been removed from Spotify. Not entirely. He still has one album on there, presumably that no one will listen to. But it's still on there.
Why?
Well, we'll get into why that might be in a moment. But yeah, Spotify spokesperson confirmed that the platform would not be removing Rogan's podcast, so they would abide by Young's request to have his music removed. As reported...
It's a really bad hostage situation, isn't it? Where the guy has got a gun in his own mouth and he's like, you know, give me a plane full of gas, $1 million, or I'm going to shoot. And they're like, do it.
Go on then. All right. I swear I'll do it. I'll do it. Really. Okay.
The FBI negotiator is like, yeah, do it. Do a flip too.
Yeah. As reported by the Hollywood Reporter, Spotify said we want all the world's music and audio content to be available to Spotify users. With that comes great responsibility in balancing both safety for listeners and freedom for creators. So yeah, they spent what $100 million on Joe Rogan. They're getting maybe, what, like, a few grand off of Neil Young a month. I did calculate it. I think that Neil Young would probably be getting about tops 50 grand per month on royalties, and that's if he keeps all his royalties, and you know that Spotify is going to take a cut of that. So I think I know where their financial interests lay.
Good. This is what we've always been asking for, CEOs of companies to just be capitalists.
Yeah, I respect it, Spotify. I know that you're full of quite a few woke people in the staff who were very angry when Joe Rogan signed on for the $100 million, but it seems like you made a pretty good business decision. And fair play to you. And the reason that some of the stuff may have been left on there, if we move along, is that Neil Young doesn't actually own all of his songs anymore. This is from last year. He sold 50% of his entire song catalogue rights to Hypnosis. The deal comprises Young's entire song catalogue of 1,180 compositions, with Hypnosis taking on 50% of the worldwide copyright and income from the catalogue in exchange for an undisclosed cash sum that will certainly run into nine figures. So they just, because he wanted a lot of money, sold all of his music. Okay, great. But that also does mean that given that most of the music has been taken off of Spotify, I would imagine Hypnosis would have had to have been maybe... In fact, actually, I don't know if this is something where he's just gone completely off the rails and not told any of his business partners about it. I just want all my music off. Because Hypnosis probably have a decent level of interest in getting a cut of the money as well.
Do they own the rights then?
They own 50% of the worldwide copyright, so...
But that's the thing, if they have the rights to say X song or Y song, then they can just demand, no, Neil, you don't know that. Go to hell.
Well, this has only just happened today. Yeah. So we'll see how long this absolute dearth of Neil Young music, I know many of you out there are probably horrified at this.
Will I go without my Neil Young
music? I know. But we'll see how long this lasts, is what I'm saying. Because if it does last, it means that Hypnosis are also in support of the decision, I would imagine. But at the same time, once again, stop being activists, company, and start being businesses again. That's all we want from you. Stakeholder capitalism is a stupid idea. Don't fall for it. Anyway, so there's been a few commenters on this, Douglas Murray included, put here, seems like Neil Young challenged Joe Rogan to a fight, entered the ring, and then knocked himself out.
Yeah.
Strange.
This is like, no one asked him to do this. He just put a gun in his own mouth and pulled the trigger.
I know what will big up my profile again if I remove the ability for most people to listen to my music.
Yeah.
Genius. Yes, and it seems that Jung has been dabbling in politics for a while to try and keep himself relevant. I mentioned that he was in Crosby, Stills, Nash, Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young. If we move along, we can see here that David Crosby did an interview where he was talking about, he said, "I'm a very liberal guy and a modern thinker in terms of politics." He said, "Neil doesn't really do politics. He does Neil. Really? I could never have been able to guess." Added that the 8 miles high crooner, well, he's probably the most self-centered, self-obsessed, selfish person I know. He only thinks about Neil, period. That's the only person he'll consider ever. So we're bringing out some character witnesses for the character of Neil Young right now for this public trial. But last year, I think this article is from 2020, so 2019, Young sued the Trump 2020 campaign for copyright infringement after the president repeatedly ignored calls from the rocker to try and stop his using his music at events, which he said gave people the incorrect idea that he supports the Republicans' agenda. The Hollywood Reporter later reported that the suit was dismissed by Young and could not be refiled. The song that Trump was using, Rockin' in the Free World. It's presumably not a standard he will stand by anymore, because, as he said himself, he doesn't care about freedom right now. Move along, and we can see that he has literally said what he would give up to save the planet. Everything. Everyone's freedom. When asked by Apple Music's Zane Lowe, how many freedoms are you willing to relinquish in order to ensure your the survival of our children? And I sort of wonder where that sits with you. Young replied, all, every freedom. Everyone I'm willing to let go of, and by proxy, of course, everyone else's as well. I'm willing to, it's a many of you may die, but it is a sacrifice that I am willing to make.
Recently, I saw an episode, Peterson went back on Joe Rogan, and a clip from it went a bit viral in like leftist Twitter.
Because I've heard about it, yeah.
It was Peterson saying that the environment means everything, so what do you even mean? And they dishonestly cut it, and Peterson was actually referring to exactly this mentality. He was saying to the green freaks, such as Neil in this example, mm-hmm. They think that the environment means literally everything, so are willing to give up everything to try and solve the problem. Whereas that's not how you look at the environment. Yeah, instead, you look at specific problems, specific solution.
It's climate alarmism, and it's putting forward the idea it's better to live in the totalitarian hellscape future as long as my goals are accomplished, presumably for who knows how long.
Yeah.
For who knows how long, because how much oppression will it take to keep the world in an element of stasis that you are happy with? That's the question. And according to him, he's willing to just give everybody's freedom up for it. And he just continues, that's the way we should be looking at this. That's why I like Biden. That's why I like what he's doing. He's addressing it.
Hang on, what? That's a direct response to him saying, I'd give up every freedom.
Yes. So Biden will take away your freedoms, confirmed by leftist political activist Neil Young.
Okay.
Good that we've got confirmation. He's addressing it, and he is not distracted by all of the petty little things that are happening day to day that people get hung up on, so that the newsies can all talk to each other and go bantering back and forth between the channels. Because it's not like Joe Biden has given the news channels anything to banter back and forth about recently, is it? And also, Biden not getting distracted? You would have to be about as senile as Joe Biden to believe that. But it also says here that Young is in a relationship with an actress and environmental activist, Daryl Hannah. So I feel like the wife might have a little bit of a little bit to do with this, pulling the strings.
Yoko Ono syndrome, isn't it?
Yes. If you don't want to be sleeping on the sofa, Neil, you'll take all your music off Spotify. Yeah, and let's just have some more examples. Back in 06, we've got Right Said Fred here, who are always great on Twitter, talking about how back in 06, Neil Young did a freedom of speech tour. He obviously doesn't really care so much about that. It's, once again, just another example, though. If you are on the left, hypocrisy does not enter into your vocabulary. You don't understand the meaning of it. There is no principle that is too sacred, no value too important to throw away when it's convenient for you and your goals. And Neil Young is not the only person who's been attacking Joe Rogan recently, as we've seen from that letter, but it's also going all the way up. And I'm sure that Neil Young himself would be very pleased to see that the Biden administration is taking a stand against this man having conversations on his podcast where he talks about monkeys.
But this, I want to stop there for a second, because this was another point Peterson mentioned when speaking to Joe. He was saying to Joe, well, why do people like you? Which is a bit of a weird thing to say, but he says, no, genuinely.
why are you gay?
Why do people like Joe Rogan? And he points out it's because Joe is willing to talk with anyone in a sincere manner and see where the conversation goes. That's it. This just it's so basic. He's such a charismatic guy, and also the fact that he's willing to just go with you and see, okay, where's this, you know, what's true? Let's find out.
Yeah, where's this going?
Completely sincere.
Well, I've got some examples that we'll get to in a moment, but Joe Rogan is not averse to speaking to people who disagree with him. Everybody's been going on about the fact that, oh, he's spoken to Malone, he's spoken to McCullough, but they don't really seem to be drawing as much attention to the fact that he's spoken to plenty of people who disagree with those people and are more than happy to toe the party line when it comes to vaccine mandates and other such things. But yeah, just to go over this first, just because I think it's quite important that the Biden administration, the US federal government, is trying to encourage
clamping down on sincere people.
Yes, trying to encourage large private platforms to become extra arms of the government, to just wrap themselves in as another organ. So US Surgeon General Vivek Murthy said Tuesday that not only the government, but big tech companies have a role to play when it comes to censoring so-called misinformation and curating accurate information to the public. Of course, misinformation and accurate being terms entirely defined by the government in this situation. Murthy
Don't
made,
you know, business has a duty to do exactly what the state tells it to?
Daddy Schwab told me so.
But that's a free system, isn't it?
Murthy made the comments after he was specifically asked by the MSNBC host Mika Brzezinski about alleged misinformation on Joe Rogan's highly popular podcast and general Facebook posts. What do you think are the best ways to push back on misinformation about COVID that continues to be aggressively pushed, whether it be Joe Rogan's podcast or all over Facebook? Well, we can have the best science available, we can have the public health expertise available, but it won't help if people don't have access to accurate information, which, if you're doing your job right, they should. What information they look at and believe is their own decision, frankly. People have the right to make their own decisions, but they also have the right to accurate information to make their decision with. This is not just about what the government can do, he emphasized. This is about companies and individuals recognizing that the only way that we get past misinformation is if we are careful about what we say and use the power that we have to limit the spread of information. So you're just openly advocating there. Business should become just another sector of the government and do exactly what we say.
Could you scroll back up just a little bit, John? Because I want to read something there, that one of the quotes you read out. That's amazing. People have the right to make their own decisions, but they also have the right to have accurate information to make that decision with. He's saying, you have the right to the information I give you, and that's it.
Yes.
It's not a right.
That's,
look, you have a right to make a decision, provided the decision you make is only based on the information I give you, no one else.
And that the decision you make also aligns exactly with what I want you to do.
Naturally.
Of course. But I mean, one of the things that's never addressed, that has been addressed, has been addressed on recent Joe Rogan podcasts, ironically enough, is the fact that if you have the accurate information, maybe just be more transparent when addressing all of the misinformation that is supposedly going around. If you didn't just immediately censor it, if you had the Surgeon General come out and go, listen, we know that this is exactly what you've been hearing, here's exactly why it's wrong, then people might trust you a bit more. Is the fact that that's never what you do, you always just immediately go to censorship.
You do not prove a man wrong by cutting out his tongue.
You only show people that you're afraid of what he might say. So there we go. And there's also CNN, as we all know, still very jealous about Joe Rogan absolutely destroying them in the ratings. Joe Rogan getting 11 million viewers per episode. CNN not getting that. So here we can see they've been trying to do things where they like try and intellectually own and fact check, or as I prefer to refer them, fact distorters, looking at the guest correcting Joe Rogan live on his own show. We're not going to play this clip because the actual clip that they watch I've got loaded up in a moment. But as we all know, CNN has lost a ridiculous amount of viewers since Trump left. And if we move along, we can see Breitbart saying that Nolte, who I believe is currently, after they got rid of Chris Cuomo, probably the highest rated show on their network, has had his ratings plummet 78% to below 500,000 viewers.
Yeah.
And that's their best show.
I believe CNN as an organization has lost 90% of its viewership since January 2020.
Yeah.
So.
And Joe Rogan knows that CNN hate him. Joe Rogan knows that they lie about him because he had one of their staff members, Sanjay Gupta, on and called him out specifically about lying about him.
But just the numbers there, like for every one person watching CNN, there's 11 people watching Joe Rogan. Sorry, 20.
Yeah, 22.
People. Yeah.
So that's pretty impressive. But yeah, once again, just to make the point, Joe Rogan is not averse to having people on his show who disagree with his perspective and having open discussions with them. Let's just play this clip, John, just to illustrate that point.
For young boys in particular, there's an adverse risk associated with the vaccine. It's like
yes.
a 2 to 4-fold increase in the instances of myocarditis.
Yes, but you know what?
Hospitalization.
You know that there's an increased risk of myocarditis in among that age cohort from getting COVID as well, which exceeds the risk of myocarditis from the vaccine.
I don't think that's true. I don't think it's true. I don't think it's true that there's an increased risk of myocarditis from people catching COVID that are young versus increased risk of myocarditis from the vaccine.
No, there is. There's both.
Well, let's look that up, because I don't think that's true.
Myocarditis
is more common after COVID-19 infection than vaccination. But is this with children? Yeah, we're talking about young people.
Men and boys aged under 30 after this is what it says here.
With children is the issue.
Well, no, we were talking about 15-year-olds.
Well, we're talking about young children.
Male child. 12 to 17.
12 to 17, more likely to develop myocarditis within 3 months of catching COVID at a rate of 450 cases per million infection. This compares to 67 cases of myocarditis per million at the same time following their second dose of Pfizer.
Yeah, so you're about 8 times likelier to get myocarditis from getting COVID than from getting the vaccine.
That's interesting.
Now,
that is not what I've read before, but also it's like, even when we're reading these things, it's like, what are we getting this from? Is this from
the
VAERS report? But even from the VAERS reports, when they report this stuff, it's like, the amount of people that report, it's the underreporting.
So
there's a reason I wanted to play it all out,
yeah.
just to make sure, because you can see as well, he's just sincere.
Yeah.
It's just like, okay, what's the data? That's
well,
like,
he's got his own perspective, yes, and this guy disagrees, and they're having a discussion about it. What's so scary about that? But they would be more than happy for that guy to be the regular guest on Joe Rogan. But then people like Malone, they would not want touching it whatsoever. And that's not just because, like we say, they want to ruin Joe Rogan. They just want to be able to bar these people from being able to speak on a platform altogether. And they know that Joe Rogan is the biggest platform they can go on. That's why he's been targeted. But along with that sort of stuff, people have been using other examples of Joe Rogan being disagreed with on his own podcast to try and dunk on him. And they've used this one. I've seen this show up a lot on Twitter. I just want to point this one out because this is really dumb. And I hate this one being used to try and be like, see, Joe Rogan, big dummy. Here, Joe Rogan being owned. If you just play this.
The whole fucking time, there's been fucking assholes on my street walking around, no masks.
You want people to walk down the street with a mask on?
Let's not start this, Joe.
Do you, though?
Let's not start this. Okay.
Let's start it.
I don't want to start this bullshit. I'm not going to sit here with no medical degree, listening to you with no medical degree, with an American flag behind you, smoking a cigar, acting like we know what's up better than the CDC. All I do is I watch the news once every 2 weeks. I'm like, mask or no mask? Still mask? All right, mask. That's all I give a fuck about. I don't care. I just love how wearing a mask became like this fucking like soft thing that you were doing, like
yeah,
being courteous.
Bitches.
Being courteous. Why is it for bitches? That was so stupid.
You're wearing a mask. First of all,
oh, God, you're so tough with your fucking open nose and throat. Gee, Joe, and your 5 o'clock shadow. This is a man right here. A man doesn't wear a mask.
Joe's obviously right, though. That's
yeah.
the thing.
And there's an example of Joe Rogan disagreeing with someone amicably. They're both having a fun time, both laughing. But I hate that people actually use that as like a dunk on Joe Rogan. It's like,
no,
that's literally the exact same take as Ethan Klein going, don't even have to think about it. Oh, I just watched the CDC and I just go mask or no mask. Okay,
but
so I don't think for myself.
They're talking about wearing masks outside. I don't think the CDC has ever recommended that.
No.
I think it was in Oregon they tried it because the local, governor or whatever, was an idiot and just decided that would do. No one else has ever thought that you would catch COVID wearing a mask or outside is going to help or not. It's about inside settings. That's at least my understanding of where the debate's always been.
Yeah.
So,
but yeah,
like, even on the point, he's wrong.
I know, but I hate it because it's basically just another clip of somebody going, you don't have to think about it, bro.
Yeah.
We've also got this clip, which we don't really need to watch. It's just Douglas Murray explaining why it is that people find Joe Rogan appealing and saying that he's basically uncancellable. They've got no chance of cancelling Joe Rogan, which I think has been proven time and time again with all of these examples. They're not actually breaching his armor whatsoever. But mentioning Ethan Klein, of course, Ethan Klein is still butthurt at Joe Rogan, presumably for not returning his messages, because a few years ago, Ethan desperately seemed to want to do some kind of collab with Joe Rogan, and I don't think Joe Rogan has ever even acknowledged his existence. But to do so, he has tried to body shame Joe Rogan. Oh no, because he's posted this picture of Joe Rogan standing front on, looking like a normal dude, with a dog. Okay, they're at different angles. I don't understand what point you're trying to make here, Ethan. This does not make you any healthier. This does not make you any less fat by posting these pictures. I know you're probably really mad that you're currently busy raising Keemstar Jr. I recognize that, and I apologize. But this will not make Joe Rogan acknowledge you anymore. And then just to close this off, here's the picture of fitness that is Ethan Klein.
Yeah,
this man is trying to lecture you on your health.
I mean, I know he's doing that with his neck, but it's still like...
I don't think Joe Rogan could get that effect if he did that.
But also, like, notoriously is known for being unhealthy. I don't know what his obsession with talking about health is. It doesn't make him look good.
It's very confusing, yes. So, in the end, up against Joe Rogan, we have washed-up hippies, underlings of a senile president, the Communist Nonce Network, and a fat man. I don't think it's looking that bad for Rogan somehow.
Yeah. He's got his knee on the neck of all of them.
Yeah. All right, let's move on.
Yeah. So let's go to... Democrats are screaming a black woman now, or at least that's my interpretation, and I think I will prove it, of the response to the Supreme Court justice change around. So if we get this first article up, you can see here Stephen Breyer to retire from Supreme Court, giving Biden a chance to pick a liberal judge. Well, apparently Breyer also being a Democrat, so doesn't change the calculus one jot. But it is a chance for someone to spend their time instead imposing critical race theory. Because, of course, you can look at Stephen, and I just looked up his Wikipedia entry, just see, okay, what's he done with his life? You know, what's his crowning achievements? And there's some stuff in there. I mean, he's worked in the US Army for 7 years. He was a professor in lecture at Harvard Law School. He was an assistant special prosecutor in Watergate. Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Regardless of your political disagreements with, let's say, the old Dems or whatever, he's clearly a man of stature. He's a man who has got something under his belt to be proud of and achievements as to why he is where he is, or
but
at least was. Or he's a filthy white man.
But he is also a child of the chalk, don't you know?
Yeah, he's a mayo monkey, as we have been called by BLM. So there's that response as well. And if we go to the next link, of course, we have the Dems' response to him retiring. As you can see, some Democratic congresswoman here saying, President of the United States, it's time for a black woman on the Supreme Court. Capital B for black there, because they don't want someone black skin. They want someone politically black.
How about it's time for a qualified person?
Nah. If we go to the next link here, we can see a Rumble video of Joe Biden when he was on the primary trail, and he mentions in here that he would, when he has a chance, promote a black woman for being black, not for their achievements, but instead for being black, and a woman. And let's play the clip of him saying this.
Number one, I committed that if I'm elected president and have an opportunity to appoint someone to the courts, I'll appoint the first black woman to the courts. It's required that they have representation now. It's long overdue.
Regardless of if they have any qualifications, have served in the army, done multiple years as a law professor and lecturer at Harvard Law or everywhere else, or been a judge even.
It's really amusing to hear Joe Biden say that because you mentioned Thomas Sowell earlier. There are some very amusing clips that you can find that demonstrate how much Joe Biden really cares about the black people in America of Thomas Sowell speaking with, in the courts, Joe Biden, saying about how, well, if we want the situation of black people in America to improve, we need to improve the culture within these ghettos and be able to enforce more, encourage better behavior from all of them. And Joe Biden's just going like, oh, you don't think we should just give them handouts? That's racist of you, Mr. Sowell.
But it's not even handouts, because you're presuming there, as Sowell is, that you should improve the community and the neighborhoods? No. Just representation.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Who cares?
I'm sorry.
If the income stays as low or the education low, that's not important. Just the representation.
I forgot the only way to care about black people is just to bring one out like a like a performing artist or something.
I've seen several people refer to that as a house. No. Mm. So this is a statement from Joe Biden, as you can see there, essentially saying that we want the most black woman regardless of her qualifications. And this reminded me very much of a Yes Minister sketch I've seen back in the day, so we'll get this off. This is just a Yes Minister sketch in which they're talking about positive discrimination back in the, like, 60s or whatever the hell was filmed, I can't even remember. And the joke is that you have all these white men around the table in the cabinet office all saying, yes, we really ought to hire the best man for the job, regardless of his background. And then it pans out and they're all men going, yes, yes. And it's like, haha, look, you know, men only want to promote men. Except that, well, now we have the exact reverse. I mean, you can picture in your minds a version of this. We have, you know, let's say the intersectional gang, the SJWs, we all know how they look, all sat around a table going, regardless of the qualifications, we must hire the most black woman. And they're all going, yes, 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 I agree.
And the table of black women going, yes, I agree.
Yes, mm. But the funny thing is the Carl mentioned that this is critical race theory in action, and it definitely is. And he's given me his holy Bible of critical race theory, the friggin' textbook, and we're going to go through a section.
I think that's more the satanic verses right there.
Well, it's their Bible, so, I mean, the Satanists also have their Bible. That's,
true.
The funny thing is that we had a conversation just before we started. This is essentially debating with a progressive without the talking points. It's just them being honest. And I'm going to read some of it because I think it's hilarious. This is part three, progressive alternatives to mainstream civil rights ideology.
Story time with Callum.
Okay, thanks for telling us. This is the progressive view. Thanks for that, Mr. Geller. And quote from him, the same criteria that defined the standards during the period of explicit racism continue to be used as long as they cannot be linked directly to racial factors. So, yes, students of Martin Luther King cared about discrimination based on race, not racial equality. They were completely obsessed with the idea that the things such as being qualified for the job were still important. Regardless of how black and woman you were.
No, those are the only two factors we look into now. How much woman?
We still need you to have done a law degree and maybe be a judge or something instead of just, I'm very black and woman. And he continues, an integrationist organizing their perception of racial justice around images of objectivity, rationality, and neutrality never considered whether this language for distinguishing the worthy from the unworthy might serve to help justify racial domination. So the fact that people may still be qualified and they might be disproportionately white, well, that's not allowed.
Well, this is...
They may be qualified for the job, but they ain't a black woman.
This is, once again, the soft bigotry of low expectations, as it is referred to as, by stating, if we handle things objectively, rationally, and neutrally, well, it's all going to be white people, isn't it?
That's a hell of a yikes thing to say.
I know, right?
Written down here, again, the students of Martin Luther King cared about the best applicant for the job, regardless of race. Competence is king. You want a competent person to get the best position, the most competent, not the most black womanish.
Yes, the Jordan Peterson competence hierarchy and not dominance hierarchy.
Not interested in racial equality, we're interested in fair treatment. So then he finishes off, if not to its victims, then at least to white beneficiaries who need to believe that their social position results from something more than the brute fact of social power and racial domination. The white people who have their positions in our society, post-civil rights movement, only have their positions because they are white. That's what he said there. Right, then why not just pick another random white person? Because they're qualified for the job. They're the competent one. That's why they got the job, not because of their bloody skin tone. If they were incompetent, let's just pick a random guy who's incompetent at that job. That doesn't happen.
You get Joe Biden if you do
you
that.
You get Joe Biden. So, if we go to the next link, we can find that apparently Joe Biden stands by his enforcement of critical race theory within the Supreme Court. I mean, how high do you want this to go until it's not just on college campuses,
well,
bro?
Well, let's be fair. From what we just said, maybe Joe Biden sees some truth in it and goes like, well, I'm completely incompetent and have no idea what I was doing. It must have been because I was white that I'm president.
God knows why else I'm here. Also, where am I? So you can see the Epoch Times listing here. While White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki said President Biden remains committed to his campaign promise to appoint the first ever black woman to the Supreme Court in the event of a vacancy. Not the most competent applicant, but instead the most blackest and the most womanish.
What if she was a Republican, though, Joe? What then?
So if we go to the next link, we've also got the best headline I've ever read, and that's why I'm probably going to title the section something like, you know, Democrats just say, black woman! So you see here, black woman! Democrats say there's no other choice for Supreme Court of the United States. It's like a toddler. Like, you know, they've just learnt to speak and walk, and they've got to that stage where they think everything's mine.
Yeah, they're in the mind state.
Insufferable. And they just sat there going, black woman, black
woman. Yes, the Democrats are insufferable children, I agree.
Are you actually a fucking toddler? What is wrong with you? And this is just an article that links a bunch of examples of check marks responding to this. And well, they're not wrong to highlight this. So let's go to the check marks and check them out. And you have some check mark here. This is an exciting time for Democrats. Biden nominating our first black woman to the nation's highest court will be a galvanizing event to drive turnout in the midterms.
And there's the real reason.
It's like the end of the Revolutionary War. Make merry, folks. There is a black woman on the Supreme Court. Oh, she's black and a woman. Oh, black and a woman? Let's go out and vote for Joe Biden.
The old white man. I mean, but no, but they are actually just laying it straight out what it is that they're trying to do.
It's a black woman. They have those now.
Republicans just like, we've had these for years, guys. They've existed a while.
A woman and black. again, we're getting into it's such like we're gonna end up in the crevices, as I mentioned before, of intersectionality. You remember that counselor who was like, I'm the first black male counselor in Islington in the last 3 years.
Okay.
Achievement.
Wow. Achievement pops up on the corner of the screen. Progress.
Oh, God. Let's get to the next check mark and see that statement. It's been a long time to appoint a black woman to the Supreme Court. Has it? Is that what the... Again, okay, yeah. The competence, not important. Black woman. Again, you can see the capital Bs. That's important as well. Because, of course, you mentioned Republican black women.
No, they're not going to be in the running, are they?
No, they're not politically black. If we go to the next check mark, we can see one more of these. So it's long overdue for a black woman to serve on the Supreme Court, again, with the capitals there. And if we go to the last check mark, we can check them out, saying, never in our nation's history has a black woman served on the Supreme Court. It's long past time we change that. In his first year, President of the United States has shown a commitment to nominating jurists who reflect the diversity of America, not its competence. We need him to extend that commitment to the High Court. Again, the ideology is that the group characteristic is primary, the competence is secondary. Instead of having competence as the thing that is important, I mean, the hell with these people, it's not even secondary, is it? It's probably like 10th down the list.
Well, I mean, it is accurately reflecting America, seeing as they're just completely discarding competence recently. So.
Yeah, okay, we're literally going to go for the hierarchy of identity. The joke thing that we all had on the college campuses, bro, it's just on there. Yeah, remember the diversity stack or the progressive stack? And eventually at the top, you've got the holiest priest of progressivism, the black disabled woman of color who's transgender and a Muslim and blah, 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 you know, drives bikes or something.
And these people, whenever they do this sort of stuff, I can only think of that image from Family Guy of Peter with his crown and his cape and his shirt that says King of the Black People.
Yeah, that is how they see themselves. Mm. And you mentioned some black women who would be fun, and we'll go to the next link so you can see some opinions for candidates.
Oh yeah,
someone here for saying Biden's nomination of a black woman for the Supreme Court would be historic. Candace Owens. No, she's not black. Remember, she's she may be racially black, but not politically black.
Again. She might be literally black.
Well, that's not important.
She's not metaphorically black.
She's not pseudo black.
Vanilla Ice is more black than her.
Metaphorically,
he's a white rapper from the early 90s.
Okay. Let's go to the next one. Another example. This is from El Dono Trumpo. they want a black woman on Supreme Court. We'll give them two. And then you have Diamond and Silk there. But of course, those are not allowed because those are people who are, well, in disagreement with the Democrats that group characteristics are primary. No, they believe that competence is primary and therefore are not black. At least that's according to the Dems. If we continue, we'll go to the next one. So I thought we'd also just take a quick look at the options Biden even has, because, of course, he has to pick someone.
It's going
to
be a bunch of crazy people, isn't it?
Kind of, yeah. How did you get that? So the Vox says in here, and we'll use Vox again, and you'll see why in a minute. You may remember a previous episode. The youngest black woman who served as a federal appellate judge when Biden took office, Judge Johnny B. Rawlinson. I'm just going to say judge from now on because I'm going to butcher all these names.
Johnny B. Good?
Johnny B. Good of the United States Courts of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit is in her late 60s. And they're making the point in here that we don't actually have any good candidates because the thing is you want someone in the 50s to ensure longevity and the youngest is in the 60s for the black woman. Because again, you've shrunk the pool of candidates because you've decided that arbitrarily none of the whites, Latinos, Asians, Pacific Islanders, natives, the Indians, the Indians, Pakistanis.
Is this not just racist to everyone else?
No one else is allowed. This is a privileged class instead. And so they say that they may go on to state judges or politicians with law backgrounds, because why not? And they give some examples. So Judge Not going to read that. And her most crowning achievement, Kenji Brown Jackson.
Ketanji Brown Jackson.
Mrs. Jackson. Mrs. Jackson.
as, that's presumptuous.
As and what is their most crowning achievement as Vox lists them? Well, Vox decided to list their crowning achievement as she was on a commission. The commission retroactively reduced sentences for many crack cocaine offences in 2011, allowing 12,000 inmates to seek reduced sentences and making an estimated 1,800 crack cocaine inmates eligible for immediate release.
Wow.
Crowning achievement.
This is a classic talking point within critical race theory, the idea that the crack cocaine laws mean that black people put behind bars. Do you know who it was who advocated for those laws to be put in the first place?
Take a guess.
It was black preachers, because they were like, we've got way too many crack addicts in our communities,
our
let's get them off the
street. By this crap?
Yes.
If we go to the next link, we can also, as you mentioned, critical race theory, we'll go back, of course, to Carl's video, which we should go and check out if you haven't. It's a premium video on LotusEaters.com called The Worst of Critical Race Theory. And speaking of crack cocaine, so, there is also an essay in here that he goes through, and it is really funny and tragic, in which you have an author trying, she's called Dorothy E. Roberts, trying to defend that the state is oppressing crack mothers by insisting that they can't take crack while pregnant, and that's bad. And a quote here saying, such government intrusion is particularly harsh for women of color because they are least able to conform to the white middle class standard of motherhood.
Not being a crack addict.
Expecting a black woman not to take crack is systemic oppression, according to the critical race theorists.
You're denying my culture.
Only white mothers don't take crack while pregnant, according to the critical race theorists. That is an essay in this textbook. Again, all signed off by all of them. I mean, it boggles the mind how crap the camouflage is on this stuff, and the fact that it goes so far. But back to the list of potential candidates, because, of course, I wonder if that potential candidate has lifted that example and her profession from the critical race theory textbook that, well, you're persecuting black people by telling them they couldn't take crack cocaine. And they have some other ones. They say Justice Leonardo Kruger doesn't really have anything good to say about her other than she's blue, which is a rigging endorsement.
Oh, wow, you're a Democrat.
Yes. Big claps. Democrats don't really have the votes to do anything, right, Vox?
I wonder why.
Other than play defense on the High Court.
Well, last time we voted you released all the crack addicts.
But someone like Kruger might be able to convince her conservative colleagues to embrace caution. That's the best thing they have to say about her. So again, not really ringing endorsement. Again, you could have done more radical left-wing things as well. That's the funny part. But you decided to limit your pool of candidates to a very small pool of candidates. That's your fault.
Why no black trans women as candidates?
And then they move on to other examples, so state judges and political candidates. Funny thing is here, they're all underachievers for this position, obviously. As in, they've not achieved what they need to. The funniest one, Judge Holly Thomas. Thomas has literally been a judge for less than a week, right, Vox?
Great. Great choice.
Vox are trying to endorse these people.
Allow me to introduce our newest candidate, Brings Out Baby.
Yes, she's been a judge for a week, says Biden, but she is black and a woman.
Is she black enough?
Oh, boy. And the best part of all of this, the reason I really wanted to cover this story, because it's so dumb, is remember we did a segment a couple of days ago, and if we go to the next link, we can see the segment from a couple of days ago, and I'm so happy about this segment, because now it's even funnier. So this was the death of affirmative action we did, which is that the court cases for affirmative action are making it to the Supreme Court, and they're going to die. Affirmative action is going to be made unconstitutional in the United States.
Excellent.
Finally. This is going to happen, provided that all the Republicans don't eat acid for breakfast or kill themselves, Hillary Clinton style. And so the thing being that, well, she's replacing a Dem, so it changes the calculus absolutely nothing. However, because they are deciding that this must be a black woman, therefore it's a diversity hire. So the diversity hire they're going to pick for the candidate, whoever it is, mm-hmm. is going to be on the court case in which diversity hires are made unconstitutional, and they're not going to be able to stop it. They can screech.
Oh, wonderful.
They can bang the table.
They can be like behind the butt, let me in.
The leftist tactics, you know, scream, hands up, don't shoot. Who cares? That has nothing to do with the case. Never ever did before. It doesn't matter. Diversity hiring is going to be made unconstitutional in the United States. The diversity hire will have to sit there and cope and seethe
Thank
throughout the
Christ.
Whole thing. There's some poetic justice right there. Oh, God. And if we go to the next link, there's also some worry about it may not even get to that point because, of course, remember the, what was it, Build Back Better bill?
Yes.
And Joe Manchin, the man who decided, I want to keep my job, so I'm not voting for this crap. And, well, his vote's now extremely important for the senatorial approval of the diversity hire.
Well, he's a Dem himself, isn't he?
Yeah, officially. But he has been objecting to everything Biden does because he wants to keep his seat. Because
his head screwed on.
But the funny thing is, of course, that, well, they need senatorial approval for the diversity hire. And whoever it is, don't care who it is, don't care what their achievements are. If he just picks a black woman because it's a black woman, we should all just call them Justice Diversity Hire. Yeah. Their name isn't important. I mean, it's like Curly's wife from Of Mice and Men.
Just handout.
Like, you reduced yourself by accepting the position to Diversity Hire. That is your name now. Anyway, Justice Stephen Breyer's reported decision to retire from the Supreme Court sets up a high-stakes Senate confirmation battle to succeed him, and Democrats bear 50-vote majority in the chamber means they'll have to go back hat in hand to Manchin and be like, we're sorry we called you fascist and right-winger, please vote for the diversity hire, otherwise we're screwed.
No.
I really hope Manchin just, no. Although, to be frank, I also kind of want him to do it so we can see that court case of affirmative action is illegal and the diversity hire on the side being like, oh, God.
You know, it would make for some great content.
Yeah. Although, the last thing I will finish on is that Ho's mad, because Ho's are always mad. A specific Ho who is mad is some CNN dullard. And as you can see here, they're very mad at Tommy Lauren. So what have they written? It's all just the quiet part now. Yeah. Quote, Tommy Lauren ridicules idea of black women filling vacant SOCUS seat. We saw how well that worked with Kamala. And they're playing this as if it's like Tommy saying, ha, black people can't do things. No,
she's using an example.
No, she's saying diversity hires can't do things because you hired them on diversity, not competence. That's the conservative criticism of diversity hiring, you brain-dead idiot. And the funny part is, if in case anyone's ever forgotten this, I thought we'd go back to Carl's Facebook page, because I posted some stuff on here back in the day, and I never want them to be forgotten. This one here, this was an advert for Kamala Harris that we, the foreigners, the British, were shown by our British Broadcasting Corporation. It's an image of Kamala Harris with some check marks next to her. The checks are female, tick, black, tick, Asian American, tick. That was the advertisement. From the completely non-partisan source, of course, as well. She was advertised as a diversity candidate.
It's a very thorough system of vetting candidates.
Yes. Is she a woman? Is she black? Well, there we are. That's the end of my investigation.
Can she do things? That doesn't matter.
Yeah. I thought I'd also mention, because I can never get over the fact that this is real, we'll go to the diversity industry within the Democratic Party itself, because more people need to see this. This is a screenshot of the Democratic National Convention schedule. And as you can see, they've got the Hispanic caucus meeting, followed by some actual campaigning stuff. And then the AAPI caucus meeting, Black caucus meeting, Interfaith council meeting, Ethnic council meeting, Youth council meeting, Women's caucus meeting. And that was just one day.
Really the important subjects.
Yeah. And also, if you just check out the Biden-Harris platform, as it was at the time, go to the next link, please. You can see here as well the different plans they have for the different ethnic groups. Joe Biden's agenda for the Catholics. Joe Biden's agenda for the black community. Joe Biden's agenda for the AAIP community. Biden's agenda for the Indian American community.
These all sound very nefarious.
Joe Biden's agenda for the Jews.
Exactly, just put Jew, he's even got one, all of a sudden sounds very bad.
I've got a plan for the Jews, says Joe Biden.
And the blacks.
Most popular man in American history. Yeah, you are the diversity party. And then if we go to the last link, I think it also should never be ever forgotten that they also campaigned on being the Blue Terror. And single mother owned, please show mercy. This is all I have. Remember all this? This should never be forgotten.
That's a bit of a downer to end on, sadly, but
no, but frankly,
it's
true. These people are bloody evil. We'll do the most evil things, and we'll even just throw out the most basic tenets of logic.
And in the case of this poor woman, I would imagine they'd be beating her while at the same time telling her they're doing it on her behalf.
Yes. Don't you know Black Lives Matter? Punches a black guy. Mm-hmm. Do you see that in the lift recently? There was a clip of that.
I didn't see that. I saw the person assault Larry Elder wearing a monkey mask.
Yeah, no, there was two white ladies in a lift with masks on. There was a black guy without a mask. They ended up hitting him and then shouting Black Lives Matter.
Oh, yeah, actually, I did see that. Jesus Christ.
Mad. But anyway, that's the state of the Dems and the screeching battle cry that they now have, which is black woman now. Let's go to the video comments.
Alright, so I just read How to Think Like a Roman Emperor, the Stoic philosophy of Marcus Aurelius. It's a really great book, by the way. Are you going to do a Contemplations on Stoicism or an Epochs on Marcus Aurelius? Also, how do I join in with the Gaultier Zoom call on Friday? It'll be my first one. Really glad to see you guys.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you very much.
There is a book club on Marcus Aurelius.
Meditations.
Meditations, yeah. As for epochs or contemplations, I don't know.
It'd be interesting to do, actually. You might suggest to Josh to do a contemplations on Stoic philosophy.
Yeah, well, yeah. You know, if he wants to do it, that's there. Otherwise, the book club I can refer you to, but that's
all. And how does he get on the video call?
Click on the video call thing when it's up on the website. If you're signed in as gold tier, it should appear, and then follow the instructions written there. So it should be easy enough. Most people find it, so I don't think it'll be too complex. Let's go to the next one.
And then the wars, because people get mad about it, arise from this idea of people becoming not just sympathetic for the characters, but actually empathetic by actually viewing the television character as a mirror image of themselves.
Friends once asked, Alex, have you ever seen your father cry? And I replied that he's so soft he even cries during the film My Fair Lady. My mother, however, never cries. She warned me that empathy is dangerous and should never trump sympathy. I'm not saying she's right, but I've not yet seen her proved wrong.
I would agree with that estimation for the most part.
I don't know. I haven't thought about it enough, but
I think that guy is also referring to the initial clip that he was showing. It might be referring to the sort of article that Carl and I covered a few weeks ago, where we were talking about how Glee caused woke culture, and how it was sort of like a Tumblr battleground between different types of people who saw each of the characters as self-insert, and then they just took it out into the wider internet culture and it spread from there.
You know how people say if you had a time machine, would you go back and kill baby Hitler? No, I'm going to go back and pull the plug on Tumblr.
Yes, please.
But the question there as well about sympathy and empathy being damaging, I do remember, I can't remember if it was empathy or sympathy, but Ben Shapiro's fantastic point about this in politics is that if you're a politician, you should not have sympathy or empathy with the group in front of you making a load of noise about a problem.
Yeah.
Because you forget about the people that aren't in front of you as well, who may be affected by changing of the law.
Well, this is something that's emphasized a lot in the Chicago and Austrian economics schools. The way that they look at politics is that politics is propelled almost entirely by special interest groups, who are the people wanting stuff done right now. That's why most policies end up being do-something policies that will look at the immediate results of something and then be left alone and left to fester and end up having lots of negative consequences down the line that nobody ever considers. And that is what, sadly, that is what, as a politician, empathy will get you. I see you right now screeching at me. I can empathize, so I will do something that will have so many repercussions that I can never predict.
Kind of proud of the fact that the direct lobbying I've ever been involved with is always not do a thing, but rather repeal a thing.
Yes.
Stop doing the thing.
I mean, that is the main problem. Josh and I discussed it the other day, how loads of these laws get put in place to solve a very simple, of its time problem, and then they stick around for hundreds of years, potentially, and then go on to ruin lots of stuff. We just need to get rid of those laws.
Anyway, thank you for the comment, Alex. It's something to think about.
I always try and put in a little bit of extra effort to make the wires as neat as possible inside the panel. Run them in straight lines with 90 degree bends and make it as tidy as I can. That way, when customers or future home buyers pop the cover off and look at how I did the work in there, they can infer from the workmanship they see that the electrical throughout the rest of the house is also of high quality.
Absolutely. Nice. It's also going to make it way easier for you or anyone else who has to use that in future.
The masculine urge to organize your wires neatly.
Yeah. But when I did electronics at college, it was something I never really thought about, and you end up with these little breadboards covered in crap, and then I thought, actually, no, it is really important to just strip everything down, clip it, so it makes sense. Totally worth it. Also just makes you less stressed looking at your own work.
Yeah, there's a satisfaction that comes with everything being in its right place. Yeah.
Let's go to the next one. Siren had to try and end it.
I know.
Like Tim.
You better start believing in cyberpunk dystopias, because we're in one.
Yeah.
That's great.
Carl has been wanting to do a follow-up to the We Live in a Cyberpunk Dystopia segment we did, and I'm sure that'll add to the list of ideas he's got there.
Yeah.
Let's get the next one.
I've been thinking a lot recently about the concept of wizardry, which is the idea that you can create the reality you want through repeating words over and over again. The COVID narrative is essentially wizardry. Politicians and their mouthpieces are suppressing the truth and saying nothing but lies over and over. They're literally engaged in a form of witchcraft, and you should start calling it what it is.
You know, actually, I agree. I feel like I've been the veil's been lifted. That last segment we did on Black Woman Now, that's actually an incantation. they're trying to hex
say
us.
Say it three times into the mirror and she will appear.
Kamala Harris will show up behind you.
Cackling.
Yeah, no, but that's a good point, actually, because you see it with tweets that people do. I mean, we've referenced them before, those tweets that are literally just line after line of them saying something like, trans women are real women, trans women are real women, like screeching like children.
Maybe, but I'm going to disagree with you because you mentioned it's just the COVID narrative, but it's all politics.
Most narratives.
Well, no, yeah, all of them. I mean, it's all magic. I mean, as Carla said before, and it's a great quote, which is that people will say, oh, this only works if we all believe in the magic. Well, okay, if we all believe in the magic, it works as well. And this can go for anything. I mean, just for the idea of justice being something that should be fair treatment. If we all believe in it, it actually does end up working. Or private property, if we all believe in it, you can actually have it.
To give another example that Carl and I spoke about last week, if you were Santa must be real, because otherwise everyone would have to be in on it. Well, everyone is on it. That's why it works, because we all recognize if you were to pull that rug out from under a child, it would be cruel.
So, I mean, you are correct, but it's... I would say we're doing a disservice by saying it's just the COVID narrative. It is all politics, really.
That's fair.
But it's a great point. Let's go to the next one.
Tony D and Little Joan with a secret origin of the Jersey Devil. I met one of the authors of the Jersey Devil book, McCloy or Miller, I forget. But he told me that according to their research, there was a Leeds family member born, this is in the early 1700s, that possibly had some sort of mental deficiency. The help talked about him, concluded he was touched by the devil, and then that whisper down the lane became the folktale of the Jersey Devil.
Were you referencing there that the Jersey Devil had a birth date in the Bible but not a death date? I saw the little text.
So he's still about.
He's somewhere out in the wilderness.
He's scurrying about there.
No, obviously. Otherwise, how would we have all these stories, huh?
Oh, good point, and I can't refute it.
I don't know if you did a response, but I'd asked a few video comments ago if he genuinely believes in ghosts or not, because I know a lot of Americans do. But I suppose chat, let me know if I missed it. But because I was on a tour of, I think it was Oxford Castle and prisons a couple of weeks ago, and everyone in the tour was over 18, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yet the tour guide is still telling us about ghosts, and he's like, ooh, spooky, yes.
Oh, yeah.
And sort of stood there, like the youngest person there was clearly like 20. And I felt like a bit of a D for asking basic questions, being like, yeah, so what about this? In the middle of him talking about stuff.
You're a spoiled sport.
But honestly,
you're that guy on the ghost tour.
I couldn't have cared less, because it was a real castle and a prison, and there was so much history there that was so interesting. And then he keep butting in with being like, yeah, so the ghost still haunts us. And I'm like, yeah, okay, but tell me about the Civil War again. Well, that was interesting.
Well, no, it's part of the theatrics. I've been on a few ghost tours in my time. I don't believe in ghosts. The only annoying thing that's happened is sometimes they'll try and make it too theatrical and have maybe a person dressed up as a ghost who'll just bother you for the rest of the tour. But I don't mind if they're just interjecting, if they're telling you like legit history, like I've been to Edinburgh and they've gone like, oh yeah, we used to, well, not we specifically, but in the day they used to hang people here, and here's a few stories of people who were hung, and then they go, oh, maybe they're still around.
Yeah, but they're not.
Yeah, but it's part of the fun, Callum.
But that's the thing.
Can suspend my disbelief.
I've got like the opposite. I really like the ghost stories because it's set as a ghost story, right? It's like, okay, well, there's the Jersey Devil, here's where the ghost. Okay, I can engage with that, and that's, you know, I can get along with. But when there's like a real historical place and there's the castle and the, you know, the princess slash queen used to live there for a bit and she had to escape and all that, it's super interesting. And then he just starts bleating on about a ghost. And I'm just like, oh, dude, you were so much more interesting when you were talking about the history. But
yeah, yeah.
It's like going to Bovington Tank Museum and he tells you about ghost tanks.
But there is a shocking amount of people who do believe in ghosts. And I know quite a few of them. So it's probably for their benefit as well. They're paying customers too, Callum. You can't just ruin everything for them.
There's a divide in the chat I can see. I can see some people are just like, Callum's on the spectrum. I mean, fair enough. But then there are some people who are like, you know, tour guides can just go F themselves. And it depends on the context, as you're saying. But
yeah, yeah. Once again, I don't mind the tour guides as if they've got, like, weird helpers who dress up in rags and annoy you for the rest of the tour.
But if it's a ghost tour, go for it, yeah. Well, full hog.
No, even if it's a ghost tour, just leave me alone, because they'll get up in your business, and
have
I don't want that.
Some paintings with eyes that move and all that. Go
yeah,
for
that,
it.
That sort of stuff's fine.
Some hands that come out of the walls or something. I don't care. But
that sounds like a lawsuit waiting to happen.
Do you remember Jungle... What was it? I think it was Jungle Run or something. There was one of the mazes that happened, and I always thought it looked weird.
Hadn't considered it before.
We've got some
seven-year-old
kids running around, and one of the places they have to go is where a bunch of hands come
out.
Some,
like, poor production assistants been like, right, you're touching the kids today.
Weird. Anyway, let's go to the next one.
So, kind of for the whole, we totally switched, guys, like, coming from the Democratic Party, which I've always been told that at this point for decades, it's because of the Southern strategy that Nixon did back in the 70s. And... Well, Dinesh D'Souza, I believe he's pronounced it, he did an article in The Hill that talked about it, where it basically boiled down to one Dixiecrat move from the Democrats or the Republicans. And, well, given how the leftists are pretty autistic about all that stuff, that's where the whole we totally switch guys thing came from.
Yes. Dinesh is also very good on this, but I think Dinesh, especially with this affirmative action case coming up, I had no idea how to contact him, but he should... And we, as a, let's say, civil rights believers,
yes.
When you speak of the civil rights movement, you shouldn't talk of it as something that's in the past. You should talk of it as something ongoing, and we are still winning it. Like, we as our camp on that have won our battles in 64, but also we're now winning our battles in the Supreme Court as coming up in 2022 with that affirmative action case. It's the same people doing the same thing. It's the Republicans. There's no switch of parties, as you can see, if you add this modern extension to the story. The party still haven't switched because it's still going on. The Republicans are still the ones defending those rights in the Supreme Court coming up.
They're still the
Democrats,
ones that care about freedom.
Yes, and the Democrats are the ones who are going to be opposing it, and have. I mean, as mentioned, there was the 4-2 decision, that was the Guffra case or whatever, where the Dems unifyingly voted that no, racial discrimination is allowed in 2018 or something.
Mm-hmm.
That's not, you know, the civil rights movement never ended. It continued on, and that narrative, I think, helps you destroy the switching of the parties very well. Not to mention all the work Dinesh has done on that as well, which is also, of course, useful.
Yeah, you do bring up a good point, though, because freedom is not some like permanent stasis we get to once you've achieved it the first time. It's something that you have to constantly and often quite doggedly fight for and on behalf of. It's not something that you just get and then it's just that done. Jobs are good. What?
And just the chat is like, us civil rights enjoyers.
Yes. Brought to you by the Civil Rights Gang.
Yes, I'll take it. That's a good title. Why not? So yeah, us and the Civil Rights Enjoyers gang. Yeah, absolutely. As you say, it doesn't end. But also, there's sort of this naivete of the old movement in the 60s and whatnot that, okay, we've done it now. You know, we finally reached a position where the United States has decided racism bad. So
yeah,
it's all
congrats.
Over. It didn't. And we are now fighting the exact opposite battle in this case, where we're fighting for Asians and whites to not be discriminated against.
Yeah, racists have just found another way to flip it.
Yeah, colleges, the government, and in jobs. That has to still be fought, and it's the same story. It never ended. Let's go to the next one.
Do you think there are too many white men in the office? Too little diversity? You're right, but you're sadly not ambitious enough. You're only thinking about black people and Asians. But there's something you're forgetting. Something very important. Did you know there are an average 0 polar bears in New York offices? This is awfully disappointing. We have to take these sad animals and put them into the offices. More diversity, more fun.
Where's our animal representation?
Yeah, Navarro Media, where's your polar bear?
Where's Harambe in your office, huh? It's true. I was half expecting him to go somewhere else with that. Because, of course, these movements always end up being anti-Semitic as well.
Yeah, that always does happen. Yeah.
I love Trevor Phillips. He did a series on things that are true about race that you can't say.
From GTA?
No. Different Trevor Phillips. He's a black guy, so he could get away with it.
Yeah.
This series. And one of it, he just sort of addressed it outright. He's like, look, yeah, Jews in the UK, overrepresented in power, positions specifically as MPs, and overrepresented in the millionaires. But that's not a problem to any of the civil rights enjoyers.
No. Do you know what I see that as? I see it as the elements of Jewish culture that stay the same no matter where they go, because they can be quite insular. It makes them ready for success, gives them lots of good cultural practices that mean that they know how to handle money, know how to save money, know how to develop good skills.
But it's also something we should look at and then do.
Yeah, exactly.
As a community of whites or whatever, you want to do this, right? Well then, okay, well that's a group that's doing well, but we need to copy their aspects. Do you remember, I think it was some black rapper who basically said that in a song, And he was saying that black people here waste all their money, whereas Jews own loads of property and we should do what the Jews do.
Why do I get a feeling that that was Kanye?
I can't remember. I don't think it was Kanye. I think it was the guy.
It sounds like something Kanye would say and then get trashed for it, despite the fact that he's right.
I think it was someone else because they lost their agent and all that. And there were accusations of anti-Semitism. It was like, dude, I'm literally saying they're doing well and we should copy them. But
We'll have to look into that.
Let's go to the written comments on the site. So, on the hate stickers, JJHW says, rape a million English girls and no one bats an eye. Put up some stickers and everyone loses their minds.
Wasn't expecting.
Everyone loses their minds.
Please don't ever come in the Joker makeup, okay? That'd be way too convincing.
You see the series The Joker Hates Minorities? No. There's like 1, 2, 3, 4. There's a whole series of them.
Oh god, I'll have to watch that.
He's like, you discriminate against whites and nothing happens. You say one N-word and everyone loses their mind. Oh. I can't do a good impression, but I love the Joker as a character. George Hab says, I wouldn't have thought that hatred against men would ever be persecuted by the police. Perhaps there's something missing in the context here. That the men might be the dress wearing kind, or the ones following a certain religion, maybe in the police force in Wales. This could be just an overreach by the police, but the vile feminists get no sympathy from me. This is what they wanted, after all. I mean, you can see there's a little element of kind of, you could say man-hating in there, but it is true that, well, men are the ones who, actually, no, it's not true, is it, on the domestic abuse thing. I think the river represented.
I've not looked into them recently.
I was going to say vast majority, but I don't think that's correct. I think it's something like 60% of abuse is meant. Someone will correct me. And a significant portion is by women, of course.
I was going to say, there is also the fact that the...
I think like 40 or something.
Statistics probably don't also take into account that there's probably a decent number of men who get abused and don't report it because they would see it as some kind of mark against pride. But so it's difficult to...
I hate that argument because it's the same when people say, well, there's loads of rapes that just aren't reported.
In fact, that's true.
In two women are being raped. And it's like, well, look, based on literally no evidence, as you're saying, it's not very useful. But it's, I mean, you could get that kind of interpretation. I can see how you got there. But at the same time, no one should be treated like that.
Yeah, even if they are a vile feminist. If they're getting punished by the police for nothing.
Even if she was putting up stickers saying, this is a Sharia-controlled zone, like Arjun Chowdhury's boys, it's a bloody sticker. Anyway, Shaker Silver, what sort of hell is this where middle-aged women get investigated for putting up mild feminist stickers while racial ideologues are lauded for tearing down statues? Petty vandalism is somehow worse than outright destruction of property if the legal system think you have the wrong thoughts in your head. Yes, we live in a legal society rather than an ideological society rather than a legal one. Let's go to the Joe Rogan section because we're running out of time.
Okay, where'd they go? Here they are. Joe Rogan comments, Chris Wolf says, if people cared about giving good info on the vaccine, they would make earnest, sincere attempts to explain the fundamentals and the data at hand. But they just say trust. All I want is some transparency, and that's the one thing they refuse to give us. I agree. Address that as part of the segment. Rolf Hartman, the most relevance Neil Young has ever had is as a slam line in Sweet Home Alabama. That's right, actually. You know the song Sweet Home Alabama? You must have heard of that one. Yes. Lynyrd Skynyrd wrote that in response to a Neil Young song where they say, where Neil Young wrote Southern Man, where he's basically just go, oh, everyone in Southern states is just a big fat racist. So they wrote Sweet Home Alabama, which has the lyrics, Southern Man can let him know we don't need Neil Young round anyhow. And now Spotify doesn't either. So great job.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to listen to that when I'm playing, Rising Storm? Yeah, the Vietnam game.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Playing out of the background.
Great song. Lord Nerevar says Joe Rogan has automated winning at this point. He's also managed to reduce Ethan Klein to a sniveling wreck without even acknowledging his existence. That's the thing. This has been an incredibly one-sided attack. Joe Rogan has never responded. I don't think you could even find a clip of Joe Rogan mentioning Ethan Klein's name, even in passing. So, good job, Ethan. Baron Von Warhawk, Joe Rogan is probably the reincarnation of Genghis Khan after a steady diet of wild animals and learning from the terrified scholars brought before him. Yes, I have also seen this 4chan post. He has conquered the entire media and now he has destroyed the young and the rest of his enemies. Soon all will bow before Joe Rogan. Joe Khan. M1 Ping says, drop a fossilized rock star or the biggest podcaster ever from the platform. Someone find King Solomon to make this impossible choice. And I'll do one more and then we can do on to the other. Maury McLean, Neil, take down Joe Rogan or else I'm leaving. Spotify. Okay, bye. That sums it up, really.
Again, he put a gun to his own head and everyone went, okay.
Yeah. Actually, there's another one. Harry, do you, from George Windsor, Harry says, Callum, do you know who Neil Young is? Me, dirty, maple-flavoured hippie. That's right, he's Canadian as well. That's another strike against him.
Yeah, I really wanted brotherhood with Canadians, but since Trudeau...
They just make it very difficult, don't they?
They've become an international laughingstock. Sorry, Canucks, but you know, a lot of you are trying to do good work in the
Blame the people voting for your government.
Yeah, it's just Trudeau is the leader. Dem, so on the Black Women Now stuff, Freewill2112 says, do you think these leftists would like a brain surgeon who is qualified and with years of experience in neurosurgery operating on them? Or do you think they would prefer a surgeon who has years of experience in critical race theory opening up their cranium? It's not even that. You don't even need to have read this crap. They just want you to be the blackest woman in the room. That's the that's the best part.
They get the colour swabs out.
They don't even want a commissar. They just want someone with the right characteristics. It's hideous, but also just hilarious. Alex L says, Democrats, we need a new judge, someone who we can control completely. Biden, a black.
It does speak to his attitudes a little bit.
Yes. Chris Wolf, white people should pick black people and black people should pick black people. Sounds like racism. Not sure I followed that one. Long talks on the Nietzsche. Imagine waiting for Biden to pick a black woman as though he hadn't failed to keep the majority of his campaign promises. Massive red pill incoming for younger Dem voters. I think he'll do it. I think he'll waste his opportunity to do anything useful in hiring someone competent and instead do it based on race.
I can't help but feel that this might turn into a situation like we had last year when it was a few months down the line and the BLM Twitter account was putting out, it's been months since we last heard from Biden. He'll get back to us eventually.
No, I think he will do this one. Yeah, I mean, the Joker in me really wants it to happen as well. I want some low-ranking judge who's been a judge for a week, that specific one, frankly,
yep,
to become the candidate, to be pushed through, to become known as the diversity hire and nothing else. Who cares about her name? And to have to sit on that court case as all of her colleagues make diversity hiring unconstitutional.
How would you be able to sit there and just know I'm not here but off of the back of my own achievements?
It's great. I'd sit there and smoke weed.
Well, I mean, they'd let her, presumably.
I mean, you're there because of no reason incompetence. You're there because
you're skinter. I don't
gotta do S. Well, no, literally. I mean, the concept of actually having qualifications, as said, was whiteness.
So what you're saying is Snoop should transition, and then we can hire him.
Yeah.
Great.
As Idiocracy. Solved. You remember Idiocracy?
I've not watched it.
I can't remember who it was. I think it might have been Snoop Dogg actually starring in it. I can't remember. But there was some guy who was the president of the. No, it wasn't Snoop Dogg, I don't think. But he was the president of the whole United States in the future where everyone's an idiot. And he was just a moron.
We're in that future.
Just smoked all the time. And then some guy from the modern age is like the smartest guy ever because he's an average intelligence. And that's who we're going to put on the Supreme Court because of their characteristics. So just been a judge for a week. Make her the Supreme Court Justice. I'm going to finish on a comment here because I thought it was interesting, which is Captain Charlie the Beagle says, hey, miscellaneous comment. I don't know if you heard, but due to the Russian Navy proclaiming they are going to do military exercises off the southwest coast of Ireland and in our fishing grounds, due to government cowering to them, a group of Irish fishermen are deciding to go to that area and disrupt the exercise to preserve the fishing grounds, which I just think is really funny. Because I read that. Just a bunch of Irish fishermen just out there being like, we're the IRA boys, take on the Russian Navy. Best of luck to them.
Good luck to you.
And on that, we'll end the show. So if you want more from us, go to lotuseas.com. Please do subscribe to get access to premium content. As mentioned, please do and go subscribe and check out the worst of Critical Race 3 because it is the worst. And otherwise, we'll be back tomorrow. 1 o'clock. Thank you. Goodbye.